Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Placed at this Sunday, which is the center point, in case you didn't realize it, halfway through Lent, at this point, the commemoration of the cross of the Lord for the comfort and for the encouragement of the faithful. Now, to those who are perhaps outside of the church, that might sound like a strange thing, knowing full well that the cross is a means of execution. And the cross is not just a means of execution, it's a means of torturing someone to death. And it's a means of torturing someone to death in the most humiliating manner possible. One of the interesting, I will say, I guess, for lack of a better word, details that I learned whenever we were in the Holy Land last October was that the crosses, which I already knew, were planted on the roads leading out of the city. But the thing I learned that I did not know was that the crosses were not, as we frequently imagine them to be, towering trees up into the sky. That they were actually usually at eye level. The purpose being that everyone who walked in or out of the city could walk right past the people that were suspended on the crosses. And if they wanted to laugh at them or strike them or throw anything at them, or do whatever they felt like doing, they were free to do so. So it was not just a torturous means of execution, it was a humiliating means of execution. Knowing all this about the cross, it may sound strange to some, to say that the cross is the comfort and the encouragement of the faithful. But those of us who are in the faith and have some knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ understand this. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God Himself, took on human flesh for the express purpose of dying on the cross. And you might think that that's a bold statement to say, but in fact, the fathers of our church, when they interpret the scriptures and the events of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, see the cross represented in types and symbols from the beginning, starting with the tree of life in paradise, and then continuing on through the wood of the staff that Moses used to split the Red Sea, and the wood of that was cast into the waters in the wilderness that made them sweet and drinkable for the children of Israel. And continuing all through the history of Israel, even Moses standing in, as the children of Israel fought against Amalek, standing with his arms upraised, and the children of Israel prevailed against Amalek. And when his arms became tired and he laid them down, then Amalek began to prevail against the children of Israel. And so Moses assigned Joshua and Caleb to stand on either side and hold his arms up on the hill over the battle, so that under the sign of the cross, the children of Israel defeat the armies of Amalek. It occurs again and again and again throughout the scriptures. So it's not too bold for us to say that the Lord desired to die on the cross. And this death on the cross does tremendous things, because it's not just a human criminal or even an innocent man who is accidentally killed, because that does happen as well in cases of capital punishment. But in this case, it is God Himself who has taken upon Himself the fallenness of our human nature and does not deserve death in any way, shape, or form, who voluntarily submits Himself to it. Death, you understand, comes upon us because of sin. And we can look in the past and we can say, well, Adam was cast out of paradise and fell under the reign of death because of his sin. But, you know, we can't just do that, because we have to look at every person after Adam. And all of them learned how to sin from Adam, right? From that time until now. And we can't just say, well, I'm going to die one day because I'm a child of Adam, because we can look into our own history, our own past, and see full well that death has its claim on us as well. If death is the price of sin, then it is ours as well. And yet, in the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself taking upon this completely, completely, completely innocent death on the cross, death loses its power. And this is the comfort of the cross. Death is not something for those who belong to Jesus Christ to fear. It is no longer powerful. It was unable to hold Him. And if we are in Him, then it will be unable to hold us as well. The cross is a comfort for those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is also encouragement, which is specifically why it's placed at the center point of the fast. Encouragement, because even though we know all of that, and we know that Jesus Christ has won the victory, and that He is victorious over evil and sin and death, nevertheless, we are faced with the consequences of those things in this world and in our lives. And we continue to live in a world which is manifestly fallen, in which sin and death seem to still hold their authority. And yet, Christ calls us not to fear these things, not to worry about these things, not to be preoccupied with them, and above all, not to be enslaved to them. It's been said that the Lord came not to deliver us from suffering, but to show us how to suffer, and to suffer with us, that our suffering might be not meaningless, but redemptive. Metropolitan Athanasios of Limassol in Cyprus says, in the Orthodox Church, pain and all kinds of suffering are not abolished for the faithful, but rather they acquire a completely new merit. They are transformed. Through our courage, patience, our prayers, and the constant memory of God, this bitter chalice gradually transforms into the sweet chalice of immortality. For this reason, pain no longer becomes a source of fear and horror for the Christian, but a broad field of labor and battle. He goes on, the Lord does not give man the false promise that he will abolish suffering, but promises to transform his pain and out of a curse create blessing and consolation. Let no one assume that the saints did not suffer or were not subjected to bodily diseases. The words of Saint Isaac the Syrian are proof of the contrary. In one of his homilies he says the following, do you see the countless multitude of the church's saints? None of them have ascended up to heaven living in pleasure, but all of them have ascended up there by many sorrows. In this world, we are frequently tempted with the pleasures of this life, the seeming pleasures of this life. But the Lord calls us to crucify ourselves, to willingly take up our cross, that is, follow Him. And taking up that cross involves many things. It can involve the patient endurance of chronic illness. It can involve the patient endurance of difficult circumstances. For each and every one of us, it involves what St. Paul describes as putting off the old man, crucifying our passions, not giving in to the temptations and the desires of this world and of our flesh, but enduring the temptation with hope in God. But each and every one of us, whether it's externally or in the depths of our hearts, will suffer and do suffer in this life. The cross is our comfort and our encouragement that we persevere through this suffering, knowing full well that it is not, it's not in opposition to the suffering, but it is through suffering that you and I are purified, that we are cleansed of our sins, and that we are initiated into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that very suffering, you and I will be given the life of the age to come. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.